So we are looking at 1 Samuel today, chapter 1, and we're picking up partway into the story. In 1 Samuel, we're introduced to the character of Elkanah and his two wives. His first wife is able to have children, and his second wife, Hannah, is not. And you remember, in this cultural context, children are considered a blessing. And subsequently, that if you are unable to have children or you're struggling with infertility, it was seen as a curse. And so as Elkanah is leading his family into worshiping God as a journey to go and worship at the temple, we see this interaction between the two wives where the one wife is kind of poking at Hannah and giving her a hard time for not being able to have children. Hannah is a faithful, devout woman. And so as she is in the temple and she's praying so fervently that Eli, the priest there, believes that she is drunk. After questioning, he finds out that it is just the fervency of her prayer. And Hannah prays this prayer: God, if you would just allow me to have a child, I will give that child back to you. I will dedicate that child back to your service. And that's where we pick up in this story. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read verses 21 through 28. The man, Elkanah, and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah and her husband said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And then our second passage is a short passage. It comes from 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today is a day that we set aside to recognize moms. But ultimately, we recognize that it's about you still, where we are thanking you for the gift of our mothers. We also come into this day knowing that we come in with a variety of emotions, that we're not only reminded of the joy, but then also frequently of sorrow. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be meeting us here in this time, that you would be revealing to us what you want to teach us this morning, that you would open us up to receive your truth. Father, you are good, and we are so thankful for that. We pray that we would see that not only today, but every day. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So for those of you who don't know, my wife, Celise, and I, we have three children. We have Emerson, Elliot, and Everett. If you haven't met them yet, then you haven't been here for very long. But we originally did not plan on having all E names, but by the time we got to Everett, we had decided, it'd be kind of weird if we didn't have an E name. So, you know, we're bouncing around names. One of the ones that I suggested that was immediately vetoed was this Elkanah name. And like before I even finished saying it, it was vetoed. But immediately, and some of maybe the other Bible names that I had drug up, you know, were subsequently vetoed as well. But so as we're entering into this passage, it's a story of, we're introduced to Elkanah and his two wives. And at first glance, you know, we're questioning, well, who is this story about? I mean, is this about Elkanah? Is this about his two wives? Is this about Eli? Is this about Samuel? But we get a clue as to what it's really about in Elkanah's words. And he says this to his wife, Hannah. And he says, may the Lord establish his word. And really what Elkanah, he's pointing at here, is that we are seeing that God is answering Hannah's prayer in a way that is fulfilling the greater purposes of his people. So really, this is kind of the story of the nation of Israel, but ultimately, this is the story of God. This is God's story. Maybe within this story, there are characters that you can identify with. You know, Penaniah, something like that. I'm getting close. But the other wife, the wife that was able to have children, we see her poking at Hannah. And it's easy for her to become the villain in this story. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how sometimes as Christians, we find ourselves in these places where it's, well, look how holy I am. You know, look how God has blessed me. And maybe we begin to view other people, well, you know, certainly they're not following after Jesus. And maybe we might find ourselves looking a little bit like her. Maybe we're hoping that we look a little bit like Elkanah. You know, he is this faithful, devout man who makes this annual pilgrimage to worship the Lord, offer sacrifices. He is portrayed as this loving husband where he continues to love his wife in a culture that would have maybe said, you know, kind of make her a second-class citizen because she has not been able to bear children. But instead, Elkanah says, no, I love my wife. I'm gonna treat her well. I'm going to honor her. I'm going to continue to love her. Maybe you can identify with Hannah. Maybe somewhere in your personal story or the stories of people who, close to you, you have experienced some measure of infertility. Maybe you know all too well what it's like to pray that prayer that Hannah prayed. Begging God. You know, maybe we can identify Hannah as parents in the times that we have prayed for our children in the midst of those situations that seem desperate and so far out of our grasp. And all of these characters have lessons to teach us, lessons about what it's like to follow Jesus. You know, the other wife, you know, reminds us that we are not to think of ourselves as somehow being holier than thou, or to look at our lives and to think that maybe we are so blessed. We have the image of Elkanah and how he continues to love, even this countercultural love, where he just loves his wife for who she is. We have Hannah, who, you know, when she prays, it's not this formality. This is real. This is her laying her heart out before God to the point that the priest, Eli, thinks that she is drunk. She's so overcome with emotion. And so there is much here that we can learn from these characters. But as I said before, really this story, it's not about any of them. The story is about God. And one of the ways we can look at this is we can ask ourselves the question, why Hannah? Why Hannah? Surely Hannah was not the only person, the only woman in Israel struggling with infertility at the time. And we have other women, even in Scripture, that we see have struggled with infertility. So why Hannah? You know, it's reasonable to assume that there would have been other women who would be coming to the temple and praying very similar prayers as Hannah. So why in this case? Why now is God stepping in? I mean, was it because Hannah was so sincere in her prayer? No. I'm sure there would have been other women who were praying equally as sincerely. You know, was it because, you know, she was the most miserable, that she was suffering more so than any other woman? No, of course not. Well, I mean, was it because of this extraordinary vow that she had made? Well, I will give my child back to God. I mean, we've all made vows like that. To one measure or another, God, if you would simply do this, I promise that I will do that. No, God answers Hannah's prayer because it fits into his plan for the nation of Israel. Samuel, in the book of 1 Samuel, shows us that God's love for Hannah is an extension of his love for Israel. The child, Samuel, will grow into a man who begins to point the nation of Israel into the solution for their leadership crisis. The name Samuel, in Hebrew, it sounds very similar to the words I asked. And we see those words appear frequently in Hannah's talking. Even in her, the word lend has the same root in Hebrew. And so linguistically, Samuel sounds very similar to the word to ask. But Samuel is pointing towards another leader that is coming, Saul, whose name really means to ask. And so Hannah's prayer was answered in this specific way because it was about the nation of Israel and providing with them a leader. And so it's tempting to read this story of Hannah and somehow think, well, maybe if I prayed more fervently, God would answer my prayer. That it would, you know, it's this idea that it fills us with the sense of hope that the seemingly impossible God will do for me if I only believe more. Or maybe I need to extend my vow to be an even greater vow. And God is reminding Hannah and us that it remains about Him. That our stories are designed to point to Him. Hannah's life, in the midst of her infertility, in the midst of her pregnancy, in the midst of her motherhood, every step of that is designed to point people to God. Every step of our lives, our suffering, and our joys are designed to point people to God. The passage in 1 Samuel that ended with that Samuel, the child, worshiped the Lord there. And then I read that passage from 3 John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. As Christian parents, that's what we are to long for. That's what God invites us as Christian parents into partnership with Him into doing. That we are to lead our children into walking in the truth. As Christian parents, really, that's number one. At the beginning, I talked about how on Mother's Day, we recognize not just our actual moms, but the women who step into our lives and act in motherly roles. And so there are many children in this world who are without moms, without parents, without whatever. They don't have that in their life, that person stepping in and loving them. And God calls us to step into those roles, to love the children and the people in our lives in order that they might better understand the way that God the Father loves them. And so God uses parents to do that. We play a role. But here's the thing that Hannah understands maybe even better than any of us. That whether we bring our children to the temple or not, that as we raise our children as Christian parents, we are entrusting them to God. Moment by moment, day by day, whether they're with us, whether they're in the temple, or whether they are elsewhere, we are entrusting them to God. And that does a couple of things. One, it takes some of that weight off. As parents, we're constantly asking ourselves the question, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I messing up? And the answer pretty much always is yes, you are messing up. As parents, we make mistakes. We mess up. But God does not. God doesn't mess up. And so in the midst of all of our mistakes, as we trust our children to God, He steps in and He says, I will not fail. Entrust your children to me. And it's wonderful when my kids come to me and they say, Dad, you know, I love you. On Mother's Day, when they say, Mom, you are such a great mom. But ultimately, it's God who gets the glory. And so moms, you know, are this incredible gift that God has given. This incredible, you know, as it was said, you know, that God has given moms to express God's love in a way that we can understand. It's a job. It's a role. What an amazing one that it is. How thankful I am that I have had moms in my life. For my actual mom, for my grandmothers, for the women who have stepped into my life. Sunday school teachers, teachers, neighbors who have stepped in. Because as Christian parents, I said our number one goal, you know, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. But that shouldn't just be our goal as parents. That's our goal. To hear that our children are walking in the truth. To be like the Elkanahs and to model it for them, to be like Hannah and to pray fervently. This is the child whom I have prayed for. pray for the children in our church. We pray for them before they arrive, while they are here, and after they have departed from us. Prayer is powerful. God hears our prayers. But we can't lose sight of our focus. That all of it is about bringing glory to the Creator. And He invites us to be a part of that. And so my encouragement to you today is, no matter what role that you find yourself in, is to seek to proclaim that I have no greater joy than to see the children around me walking in the truth. To pray for them, to set an example for them, and to continuously point them to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am so very thankful, again, for the women that you have placed into my life. Father, we are so blessed. And I know, Father, right now that there are many people in this room, in this community, really across this globe, that are hurting. Hurting because of the moms who are absent, the moms who have been lost, the moms who aren't acting like moms. And I pray that you would comfort those hearts. But in the midst of that, give us the courage and the strength to step into people's life and to begin to offer a taste of what that love looks like. That we would seek to point people towards you. You alone. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.